Macmillan Audio presents Where It All Lands by Jenny Wexler. Read for you by Bailey Carr, Dan Bittner, and Michael Crouch. Part 1. Heads. Chapter 1. Stevie. December. The entire high school fills the church, but he's not here. He's not anywhere. The football team shuffles in late and leans against the back wall. A low murmur hangs in the air, the sound of sadness. His family walks in, and their faces are vacant, eyes hollow. The coffin is closed. I heard it was too gruesome for an open casket, and I don't want to think about what that really means. Whispers from the row behind me are like hissing snakes, relentless and fraying my nerves. I try to tune it out, but bits and pieces worm through my ears. The accident. So young. So unfair. I close my eyes, squeezing the lids together to stop tears. When I open them, the church is blurry, like a dream, like maybe this isn't happening. If only it wasn't. Stevie, he says, his voice brittle. I grab hold of his hand, afraid if I let go, I won't be able to stay here. I need his hand, like an anchor to my seat. Just breathe. I inhale deeply, but my throat catches and my vision blurs again. One tear slides to my cheek like a single raindrop before a storm, and then all at once it spills out of me. My chest heaves, the sobs escaping faster than I can catch them. My entire body screams like I'm in a free fall with no ground below. I heard a parent's worst nightmare. Pray for them. God, make them stop. His hand squeezes mine as the priest walks in, and the room falls silent, except for the crying. So much crying. I can't catch my breath. The stained glass windows bend and distort as my mind struggles to make sense of this. My very first funeral. All the moments that led to this one flash before me, as beads of sweat break out along my hairline. I squeeze his hand, holding on so I don't faint, wishing I could go back to the beginning.
Chapter 2. Drew. 4 months earlier, August. I delete the voicemail without listening. 5 total. One by one, I delete the text messages, my fingers tapping furiously at the screen. An overwhelming urge to smash my phone on the kitchen tile crashes through me, but before I get the chance, Mom puts her hand on my shoulder. I shove my phone into the back pocket of my jeans and flip up my hood, hunching over the white marble countertop. She tugs the strings of my sweatshirt, but won't look me in the eye.
Your dad called for you.
Tell him to go fuck himself, I say calmly. No reaction from Mom. It's like she doesn't have the energy.
Said he couldn't reach you on your phone.
I don't respond. Mom opens the Sub-Zero and sighs, pulling a half-filled pitcher of orange juice off the barren shelf. The liquid splashes on the marble as she pours a glass. She rips a paper towel from the roll and wipes it up, a message flashing across the Apple Watch on her wrist. I'm going to be late, she says, pushing an oversized pair of sunglasses up her fake nose. She bends to kiss me on the cheek, but I turn away. I down the juice, grab my keys, and stand, a good head taller than Mom. Have a good day, she says as I head for the door, which makes me laugh because it's been exactly 183 days since I've had a good day. If Mom ever asked, she'd know. But Mom never talks about the day Dad left.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?